Hello and welcome to Grad Chat, your opportunity to find out about graduate research here at Queen's. My name is KM on the FM, and I'm your host for this week's Grad Chat. A show like this could not happen without the support from the School of Graduate Studies and Postdoctoral Affairs and CFRC, so a big thank you to both of them. If you've missed the show at any point, you can download the podcast the next day on either iTunes, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or CFRC Podcast. It's a great way to stay informed about all the exciting research our graduate students and postdocs are getting up to. Today, I'd like to introduce you to Jessica Caravaggio, who is doing a PhD in English under the supervision of Dr. Jane Tolmie. Welcome to Grad Chat, Jessica.
Hi, thank you for having me, Katie.
Well, thank you so much for joining us, and I am really looking forward to learning more about your exciting topic. So your research topic is young adult fiction, feminist theory, and fandom studies. Can you tell us a little bit more about your work and what that means in general?
Yeah, so I do work with young adult fiction, very popular young adult fiction texts you've probably heard of, like Twilight by Stephanie Meyer and Court of Thorns and Roses by Sarah J. Maas. That's another very popular, like, romantasy style YA text. But I was trained in feminist theory and feminist literature. So what I do is I kind of look at connections between popular feminist theory and popular YA texts to kind of see what these texts are saying about the role of women, about femininity itself, how they define femininity. And then I kind of look at how those texts are creating and fostering discussions online about social issues, feminist issues for readers in social media communities. So I look specifically at a community called Book Talk on the social media site TikTok. You might have heard of it. And on this site, I found that a lot of readers, users of this site, they use Twilight and ACOTAR and other YA texts to discuss and debate a lot of these feminist issues. And it means that it's a site of a lot of feminist consciousness raising, which is really cool. So not only do I kind of do some more traditional, the field of English style research into these YA texts, but I also go into online communities and I look at how readers are interacting with these texts in these newer reader community spaces.
Oh, that sounds very interesting. And I know those two main texts that you mentioned are extremely popular, and I'm sure have some very opinionated people who discuss them on Book Talk, as I have seen.
Oh, yes. Lots of opinions, which is great for me, right? Lots of opinions means lots of discussion, means lots of material.
That is very fun to be using your research, your kind of academic research skills, to investigate a topic that, you know, many people might be familiar with, but not have spent as much kind of time delving deeply into as you are. So you mentioned it's a space for feminist consciousness raising. What are some of the kind of issues or trends you see in discussions on Book Talk about those two texts that you've mentioned?
Right. So it's interesting because a lot of people will identify Twilight and ACOTAR as having a lot of anti-feminist themes. And I don't disagree with those people at all. I think they're totally correct about that. But I think that texts that have a lot of anti-feminist themes can be really generative in terms of discussion. These are super popular texts that people are already organically interested in, right? They have their eyeballs on, they want to talk about. And so I think these texts are popular in a lot of ways because they appeal to a lot of internalized beliefs that are shaped by patriarchy about what ideal masculinity looks like, about what ideal femininity looks like, about what ideal relationships look like. And when readers kind of discuss and debate topics that might seem silly, like Team Edward or like Team Jacob, you know, which side are you on? A lot of times they're talking about, you know, not whether Robert Pattinson or Taylor Lautner is more attractive, but they're talking about consent violations. They're talking about unequal power dynamics between different characters, right? And this kind of discussion is really valuable to feminist consciousness raising efforts because people are able to talk to each other in open forums about feminist issues, and talking about them through the lens of literature abstracts them. So people are able to approach them with less bias and with less of a personal stake in the results of that discussion. So it's a place where a lot of people are learning new language, like, you know, internalized misogyny, like the phrase benevolent sexism, things like this. They're learning a lot of new language to describe the experiences of characters in the text and therefore to describe their own experiences. And they're also having a lot of really interesting debates and discussions about the actions and behaviors and thoughts of a lot of different people in the text.
Well, that sounds really exciting for a lot of young adult readers who are kind of engaging with these topics, maybe for the first time, and are seeing this apply in their own lives and hopefully are learning a lot
for sure
from these discussions. Do you think scholarly work is keeping up with what young adult fiction and what book talk is up to at this time?
I think that the field of young adult fiction studies is still incredibly new. Mm. There's still a lot of space for new research to be done. And that is for a lot of reasons. First of all, YA itself is an incredibly new category of literature, right? A lot of people identify the first YA text as being published sometime between 1948 and 1967. Mm. So it's been around for less than 100 years. That's because we haven't really had an understanding of the category of person, you know, teenager or adolescent for a very long time. And when something is new, it takes a long time to gain legitimacy mm-hmm. among academics. This is the same with something like comic studies, for example. Comics have been around for a long, long time, but comic studies as a field really only emerged in like the 80s and the 90s. So YA literature is similar in that way. And then there's also some roadblocks to people studying YA because, you know, scholarly communities are not these perfectly progressive communities where they're immune to being influenced by larger social narratives that say that literature that's specifically for young women, specifically for girls, is like stupid or frivolous or unimportant, you know, because these larger social narratives say that young women and girls themselves are sometimes stupid or frivolous or unimportant. And this makes studying YA fiction really exciting and challenging because, you know, there's not as much of a canon of criticism and theory to draw on, but there's also a lot of space to like explore certain niches that people are really passionate about. So I don't think that research has really kept up with book talk itself, but that's a good and a bad thing for mm-hmm. me, I guess. There's very little research that's been done on book talk previously. A lot of that has to do with education and how teachers can utilize book talk as a resource for students in their English classes, not so much on the literary criticism side. So that is something very new.
And did that influence that kind of gap in literary criticism approaching book talk? Did that influence your choice to choose TikTok specifically as a site of research inquiry?
Yeah, definitely it did. Most of what influenced my interest in YA specifically was kind of this gap that I saw in the field of literary criticism more generally, right? When I did my undergraduate degree at the University of Toronto, there were no YA courses available. There were children's literature, there was contemporary fiction, there were historical periods where you could study different literatures, but not YA fiction. You don't see a lot of YA fiction classes still in a lot of high-ranking universities. And this is something that I'd always been interested in, this field of literature. I worked at Indigo for a long time too, so I was able to, you know, talk to a lot of young readers who were really passionate about this field. It's the books that I would read with my friends and talk about with my friends a lot. And so it's something that's always been a big part of my life. What influenced my interest in TikTok specifically and book talk was actually the way that misogyny has kind of exploded on the app in recent years. And I was interested in this contrast between, you know, misogyny on TikTok at large compared to book talk, where I saw a lot of these, you know, consciousness raising discussions happening. You know, obviously these discussions were not perfect and people had a lot of opinions that I disagreed with, but I think that's how things get done, is people with different opinions talk to each other and a lot of education happens. On TikTok more generally, it's frequently understood correctly as a place where young people are often being radicalized towards right-wing politics, specifically via misogynistic rhetoric that targets very vulnerable communities like trans people and sex workers. And I wanted to investigate consciousness-raising strategies on the same platforms where a lot of this anti-feminist sentiment was so rampant. So to back that up a little bit with some brief stats, just a couple of months ago in March, Amnesty International published an article that released results of an Amnesty International UK poll that was asking young people about where they most often encountered misogynistic content online. And the results were pretty shocking. TikTok kind of came out as a leader, unfortunately, in hosting a lot of misogynistic content. I think the stats were that 80% of young women reported encountering misogynistic content on TikTok, and the next site down from that, Instagram, was not even close with like 61%, right? So
quite a discrepancy, and that's most young women who are using TikTok are experiencing misogyny.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of this is due to these, you know, mega influencers, people like Andrew Tate, where articles have been written on him by the CBC, by the BBC, by The Guardian, about how he's basically, you know, participated in grooming an entire generation of young men on TikTok to believe that abusing women in all types of ways can be justified. This is the same person who's currently being investigated for human trafficking in one country and, you know, for charges of rape in another country. He is proof that this online misogyny has real world consequences.
Mm.
And a lot of gender-based violence has also been linked back to these, you know, online manosphere communities, as people call them. This was, I think, reported also by the Canadian Museum of Human Rights in 2023, that a lot of this online misogyny was directly linked to real world gendered violence, like the 2018 Toronto van attack, for example.
Mm. And it's very interesting that your work is investigating communities who kind of counter that and create their own spaces for a very different type of dialogue, like a pro-feminist supportive dialogue amongst mostly young women, but I'm sure folks of many different gendered backgrounds. It seems like conversations and trends on BookTok and TikTok in generally are moving at a rapid pace. What is it like researching a topic which involves a really complex and constantly evolving community, such as these creators on BookTok that you are studying?
Right. It's difficult. It presents a lot of challenges because TikTok isn't like a database, mm-hmm. right? It isn't. I wasn't trained in my education as a researcher to research social media spaces, right? And because there's not a lot that's been published on BookTok, there's not a lot of previous research on BookTok, I can't even lean on what other people have done to guide my own research. So I'm doing a lot of new things, and those new things are probably not perfect methods at all. But what I'm hoping is that, you know, slowly, as more people are doing research into these spaces, into reader communities and social media spaces, then our understanding of how to do that research better kind of grows and grows and grows. And I'm a part of, you know, doing something imperfectly so people can do it better later on. BookTok is very borderless because TikTok itself is very borderless, mm-hmm. right? There are hashtags that categorize videos, but on the whole, there's not a lot of categorization because the space is meant to be a space where content finds you rather than where you find content.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, based on what you like, what you comment on, what you watch all the way through, TikTok will show you what they think you want to see. And in some ways, that actually can help research because my interest was in a very narrow category of videos. It was in videos on Twilight and ACOTAR, Court of Thorns and Roses, that touched on, even if it was in like a joking way, mm-hmm. some sort of discussion of these feminist issues that I was concerned with. And so once I started, you know, seeking out those videos, watching them all the way through, searching through comment sections to see what people were saying about these texts and about the topics that these videos were discussing, then TikTok started feeding me more and more of those videos, right? So it was, the research was coming to me rather mm-hmm. than me having to go find it. However, you never know what's being left out because mm-hmm. the algorithm happened not to be triggered to show it to you. So I also spent a lot of time on, you know, various hashtags, looking through videos that hadn't been directly fed to me. And then the third sort of action that I took was also reaching out directly to content creators to see what their experience was on the app as someone who was creating content and engaging with people directly rather than kind of lurking on the sidelines and watching it all play out. And so that was important to me to know how the experience of the site was different for different types of users and how creators' experiences shaped how they thought of BookTok as a community and of TikTok as a larger social media space.
It sounds like you're blending, well, you're creating new methods, but also blending a lot of interdisciplinary research methods into your project. Is that fair to say?
It is fair to say. I wouldn't say it's that well thought out, but I'm doing my best and hoping that it helps people who study these readerly spaces next, mm-hmm. and they can kind of build off of the work that I've done. I recognize that it's not perfect because it's new, and new research never is.
No, that's very exciting, though, to be on the cutting edge of kind of research method development and pairing that with, of course, your background in critical analysis and literary studies. And you mentioned your interviews with BookTok creators. How many folks did you interview and what did those look like?
So I reached out to a bunch of creators and I ended up interviewing four of them. I wanted to reach people of different ages, different backgrounds, and different size communities on the platform, mm-hmm. right? So I ended up talking to two creators who specifically made content about Twilight, not solely on Twilight, but a large portion of their following was interested in these videos, and they'd consistently made videos about Twilight and discussed these feminist issues in their videos. And then I did the same with A Court of Thorns and Roses, right? Where I reached out to two creators, one of whom is a man named Connor, and he was recreating in his home basically every single chapter of the book as he was reading and kind of giving his own take while also like reenacting scenes, which was very funny. But he also took a lot of time to, you know, make a lot of sarcastic jokes about the like in-world misogyny that was happening and how it could parallel with things happening in our own world. Really cool to get to sit down with them and talk to them about what brought them to the site, about what brought them to these specific texts. They had a lot of different opinions about, you know, whether BookTok and TikTok separately could be identified as feminist spaces, about what it meant to them to be fostering a community where feminism was an important part of the content that they produced. Yeah, it was a really great experience. Yeah.
Oh, that's really fascinating, because I think TikTok does a great job, for better or worse, democratizing the way that all of us are able to share and connect. So we have these new voices and new creators who maybe in a more traditional media landscape wouldn't have gotten the platform to share their thoughts about these texts and are now able to build their own communities to discuss what they would like to discuss.
Exactly. I think one of the foundational romance theory texts is Janice Radway's Reading the Romance from, I think, 1984 it was published. And it's based on research that she did into communities of women reading romance novels. And she says at the beginning of her book, you know, this is kind of difficult research to do because women don't want to talk about the fact that they read romance. And often, like, they're very segregated into, you know, their own domestic spaces. And they don't want, it's a very private thing. They don't want to talk about it with other people because it's linked directly to their sexuality. Mm. But with the advent of, like, BookTok and even similar spaces on other social media apps like Bookstagram, for example, or there's lots of book creators, BookTube, I think is what they call it on YouTube, right? These are earlier examples where this kind of reading is really brought into public spaces rather than private ones, where people want to talk about their reading and their romance reading and their YA reading really openly and with a lot of different kinds of people. And so that's really exciting for reader habits to change so much that research is then able to change so much as well.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and it sounds, again, I think you're right on the cutting edge of this. So it's just so exciting to hear about your project and how it's developing and how you are trying to keep up with this constantly evolving community, or communities, I should say.
Thank you. Yeah, definitely. It's a difficult beast to tackle.
Mm-hmm. And I guess, how do you draw scope or try and draw a line about around your PhD studies? As we all know, research can be endless, but, you know, we have to produce a dissertation or finalize a project. So how do you draw a line around what you will include for your dissertation as a project and kind of your broader research agenda?
Yeah, I think avoiding tangents is a problem for every single PhD student that I know. And there's just so many different avenues to go down in terms of this research. And I'm trying not to do too much rewriting and reworking just for practicality's sake. But the way that I've tried to focus it is to kind of bring it back specifically to the text, which is what I've kind of been trained to do, is to link everything back to these texts, which are, unlike BookTok, things that are not going to change, things that are remain rigid in certain ways, and to kind of link everything back to that. And my first two chapters, which don't concern BookTok, do this very strongly so that I don't go too crazy with the BookTok stuff at the end of the dissertation. So my first two chapters are, you know, looking very closely into how Twilight and ACOTAR construct different images of femininity and how they represent sexuality and romance in the texts. And by doing that first, what I was able to do is then kind of focus my interest in book talk very specifically on those kinds of issues and how what people are talking about these specific topics. And so it was an exercise of creating a strong foundation for having a very specific focus and sticking to that focus on those topics.
No, that sounds like a good plan, because it sounds like there's so many opportunities, like you said, for tangents. And as fun as that may be, it is important also to finish, right? So
It's pretty important to finish.
So I'm glad you've got some clear parameters there to keep you grounded. I would like to ask, what are you reading for fun outside of your research? It sounds like you've been doing lots of reading of different texts and reading different types of media, but what do you read for fun right now?
What do I read for fun right now? So I've got a part-time job that enables me to read a lot of children's fiction, actually. I work with developing lesson content for a tutoring company that does reading and writing and English language learning with young people. And so I read and select a lot of texts for them to read, which has been so much fun. So I kind of keep up with what a lot of kids are reading right now. I read Wild Robot last year and like A Wolf Called Wander. And it's similar enough to YA stuff that it's something I really enjoy, but doesn't kind of infringe upon my own research. So that's fun. And I also have a book club with my friends back home in the GTA. And we do a lot of contemporary fiction. And so we are starting off this month. I think we have a meeting coming up in June. And we've got we're reading Sally Rooney's Intermezzo, her latest book. And I've read all three of Sally Rooney's previous books, so I'm super excited to start this one. We just finished last month with a children's novel called The Eyes and the Impossible by Dave Eggers. Mm. It won the Newbery Medal in 2023, and it's this really, really cute story about a dog named Johannes who lives in a park and is kind of concerned with like the equilibrium and the balance of the park itself. So it's like environmental children's literature that is not anthropocentric. It's really focused on like the lives of animals and how they're impacted by the humans who come to visit this park. So it was really cool. Love children's literature, obviously. And I'm a big fan of Sally Rooney too. So I'm excited to get started on that this month. I also really enjoy picking up classics that I feel like I missed out on in my English education. So I recently read The Woman in White by Wilkie Collins. It's like one of the first mystery novels ever written. And I think mystery novels are just so much fun.
Me too. Well, it sounds like you've got a really diverse group of texts that surround your life outside of the PhD.
Oh yeah, for sure. I think that's kind of key to keeping a love of literature alive when you're doing this kind of work. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you can get really bogged down in what you're reading and start to see reading as a chore. Mm. And that makes it difficult to be inspired to continue working with the texts that you love.
No, I think that's a really good point. It's you've got reading for research and work, but you've also got reading as a hobby and as a recreation. And I do hear that you are a bit of a serial hobbyist. could you tell us a little bit about what hobbies you're currently enjoying outside of reading for fun?
Oh, yeah. I do a lot to keep myself busy. I've been very into nail art. Mm. So right now I've got some purple chrome nails with some silver accents that I did last week.
Tell our listeners that they are beautiful.
Thank you. And I've been into a lot of different stuff. Last summer I did some like embroidery on some jeans, and I kind of learned how to do like embroidery of different patterns. Just as a fun thing to do while I was watching TV. I got into knitting a few years ago because my best friend is a knitter and she taught me how to knit. And then I did some scarf projects. I did some hand warmers and a little shawl that I got from an Outlander pattern website.
So still related to books.
Books, yeah. It all comes back to that. And my brother and my sister-in-law bought me a calligraphy set for Christmas a couple years ago. So I was practicing doing some calligraphy. So I really like learning, which shouldn't be a surprise, I guess. I really like learning. Not everything sticks. And sometimes what's most fun for me is to kind of feel like I've conquered a new task and learned how to do it. And then I lose interest a little bit. The nails have stuck around.
And do you get any of your inspiration for some of these hobbies on TikTok as well? And are there other communities that support those hobbies?
Oh, yeah, online? For sure. Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, I often am very inspired by other women on TikTok who are doing really exciting things in their own niche fields and with their own interests. And it feels like a fun way to kind of participate in that. I think part of what inspired me to do the kind of research that I'm doing in the first place is because I value my female friends a lot. I'm a big sister and I love my little sister so much. And I just feel like hopefully part of what I'm doing in highlighting young adult literature and in highlighting the voices of young women who are really passionate about this literature is being a champion for them, you know, saying, you know, these are not like passive fans of this thing. They are engaged, they are political, and they should be listened to. And I think young women doing all sorts of things on TikTok is inspiring and joyful. And I see my work as being connected to that in some way. That makes me really happy.
Oh, well, thank you, Jessica. I think that is an excellent place to leave it, coming kind of full circle to why you were inspired by for your project in the first place. So thank you so much for coming in today. And it's been great chatting with you. And best of luck with your research. I can't wait to see how it turns out and hopefully get to read the dissertation once it's all completed.
Thank you. And thank you so much for having me. I had a great time.
Oh, great. And that's it, everyone. Another week of Grad Chat comes to an end. Don't forget that you can download the show tomorrow, either from iTunes, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or CFRC Podcast. Just search for Grad Chat. And until next week, this is KM on the FM.
Thank you for listening to this podcast produced at CFRC 101.9 FM at Queen's University, situated on the traditional territory of the Anishinaabe and Haudenosaunee peoples, and brought to you by the generous support of the Faculty of Engineering and Applied Science.